Unintended consequences. Have you ever experienced them? Well, the city of Edmonton did. They're having a noise problem. The cars in the area were just too loud. So there were complaints to City Hall, and they put their heads together and decided they were going to do something about it. They installed high-tech monitors on the sides of the road that showed in a digital signage, kind of like what we have in the US here, where it shows your speed and how fast you're driving and if you're going over the speed limit in like a school zone or something like that. Well, they did it for sound and put these up on the side of the road. Intended consequences would be that drivers would be able to see the decibels their cars were creating and how quickly they accelerated after a stop sign and be able to make changes to lower the noise in the neighborhood. But instead, there was an unintended consequence. It became a game. So many cars would actually drive to the area to compete for who could create the most noise, because now you had this beautiful digital signage that showed you just exactly how loud the noise was that you were making with your car. And so in the end, the noise got so much worse and they had to turn off the digital signs because it wasn't having the intended consequence at all.
Are you ready to change your tomorrow and start feeling good again? You're in the right place. Grab your coffee and together, let's start doing wellness differently. I'm Heather Young, a certified personal trainer.
And I'm Jennifer Klutz, a registered dietitian nutritionist. Join us for conversations that will inspire you to ask better questions, remove the overwhelm, and discover what you can do to change your health now.
Welcome to the Critical Conversations Podcast.
And that's what we're going to tackle today in this conversation, which is the unintended consequences that social media is most likely having on you being able to achieve your health and wellness goals because you are unaware of how it is inadvertently sabotaging you.
I think some of these ways that social media impacts us will surprise you, but all of them are to help you be a savvy social media user. So once you know about it, you can do something about it and change the impact that social media is having on your health. So grab your coffee and grab your downloadable worksheet. We have one for this episode and it's in the show notes. You just have to go to shechangeseverything.com, go to the podcast page, and then look for this specific episode in order to get it. Most people are on social media. It's more rare to come across someone who's not on social media than to come across someone who is, because the current stats show about 58%, that's almost 60% of the world's population, is on social media.
That translates to 4.62 billion people.
Give or take a few million or billion. And that's a lot.
It's 2.2 billion more than the social media users in 2017. It jumped a whopping 79% in just 5 years.
So we're on it a lot, and a lot of people are on it, which is why we want to discuss these ways for you to be a savvy user of social media who knows how it's impacting your health and your brain, and empowering you to steer clear of some of these scientifically proven impacts that the platform is having on your health, and especially on your brain. So, more importantly, with this conversation, it's going to help explain why, despite seeing a lot of incredible advice for your health and wellness on Instagram and TikTok and all platforms, your health still isn't where you want it to be. Now, some of these are hidden, but then they're so obvious once you actually know them. You'll probably go, aha, that makes so much sense. It makes my lived experience make sense. That's how we felt when we learned them, and we're really excited to share them today with you.
So how many saved posts do you have on your phone right now, Hev?
A lot. So many.
I mean, I have a lot.
I'm a saver.
It's just easy. You go, ooh, I'll go back to this, or ooh, that recipe looks good, or ooh, and you hit that little button and go, doot.
And you save it. So here's the better question, though. How many of those saved posts have you taken action on?
Very few.
Yes. How many recipes have you actually cooked? How many exercises have you actually tried? How many DIY hacks have you done? Social media keeps us stuck in this place of inspiration and not action because it gives us so many pieces of information that we can't keep track of them or remember them. And there's actually science behind it. Research shows that heavy social media use is linked with memory deficit, and that's because social media's central feature, the sharing and the storing of your experiences, is really affecting the memories that you keep and the memories that you don't, the information that you remember and the information that you don't, including the memory of the saved posts.
In one study, the participants were asked to record an experience using their notes or social media. A second group was instructed to simply experience the event without recording it. The results were beyond interesting. Anyone who had recorded or shared the event showed more of a memory deficit about the event, whereas anyone who had experienced the event without recording it remembered more. It seems like externalizing experience made the study participants' memory worse because their brain got the idea that it didn't need to hold on to the information because it was stored somewhere else, aka their phone. In addition to losing some memory of the original experience, the study also indicated the individuals could experience longer-term deficits in the size and function of their brains. It simply didn't need to work hard to remember. So your brain knows that you saved that post. It stored it somewhere. And there is no reason to help you remember to take action on it. Once you start to understand this piece that they're starting to figure out, it really starts to change everything. Because that is a big problem when you are wrestling with a health issue that you really need to take action on and you're saving things that are supposed to be helping your health issue and you think you're taking action on them, but you're not actually taking action on them.
This is a serious subject because it's linked to how we feel and if we're able to take care of ourselves and help ourselves. But I do have a joke for it. I think I heard it at a business conference. Five frogs are sitting on a log. Four frogs decide to jump off. How many frogs are left?
I know this is a trick question.
It always is.
Not one.
No. The correct answer is still five because there's a difference between deciding and doing. Deciding and doing, saving and taking action. That's the number one thing we all need to know about social media is it preventing you from taking action on your health goals? The first step to solving this problem is to actually write down or schedule things that you want to take action on. You have to put it where you can see it or you can plan for it. It has to move out of your saved posts into the real world. You need to start challenging yourself to just stop reflex saving things you'll never take action and actually pause and ask yourself, will I have the time to take action on this? How will I actually do this? And then more importantly, that follow-up question, is this the most important thing that I should be doing? And then from there, if the answer is yes, it is important, and yes, you do have the time or the capacity or the tools to do it, you have to move it into the real world. You have to put it on a calendar. You have to schedule it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing within this is the information you're saving really valuable? You really do want to be asking yourself that question. Do I really need this?
It's bleeding into how life feels and how we're able to take action in real life.
But to be clear, one, obviously memory can be inhibited by other things. Today we're focusing on social media.
Yes.
Plus they are also working on getting the full picture of this. But if you've noticed over the last few years that you feel like your memory just isn't what it used to be, look at how often you are on social media. Look at your patterns. Are you a chronic saver when you're on social media? You know, by the end of your session, have you saved 27 posts? Because that is something that I would consider looking at and say, is there a way I can cut down on this now that I'm aware that this could be impacting my ability to remember things?
Good advice. And then building on that, I want to start with a question. Before Instagram and social media and TikTok, where were you getting your health information? Where were you going to understand health or wellness?
Well, definitely one, books, you know,
the library,
print, right? Magazines, the library, but also you were probably also asking these questions of other health professionals, like your doctor, your dietitian, your health teacher. We've just completely transitioned away from the small circle of information that we used to rely on. So, right, maybe even your favorite aunt who was really into health and wellness, and you would ask their opinion on something. But if you take a moment to really think about it, it took a lot of thought or time to build up the information or knowledge that you did have on that current topic. You didn't have instant access to it, right? You didn't have Google. You had to go to the encyclopedia and you had to find it. You had to guess where it might be and how they decided to explain it in those books, right? Now let's get specific for a minute. Think about the last three pieces of information that you took action on. Jot them down on a piece of paper, or if you have the worksheet, jot it down. And just think, where did that information come from? Is it from a person in your immediate circle or someone you don't know on social media? Or was it from the health practitioner you're currently working with? It's getting more and more likely it was from an account you're following on social media. And here's the thing. We have a social media account that we share information on. We think it's an excellent way for people to learn things that we think are valuable for them to know. But we will be the first ones to tell you, based on our own wellness experiences, that finding and learning quality health information is difficult.
Yes, this is a great change because we grew up in the era without social media. We were in college without social media. Well, Facebook was there, but it wasn't a source of information.
Facebook didn't really start to hit until we were getting our masters.
But it was more for communication and fun. It was not an encyclopedia of people sharing information and knowledge.
No, the entire time I used Facebook in college, quote unquote, was, hey, are you here for the group study at 7? You know what I mean? It was not interesting to me. Honestly, I didn't really like it.
Yeah, and when we were really diving into our first health challenge, you had to order a book and wait for it to arrive. You couldn't just quickly Google it because a lot of stuff didn't exist.
And now you can download textbooks on your Kindle.
Yes. And just have a world of information
and
right at your fingertips.
And they talk to you. They now have buttons that says, do you want it read to you? But then they have extra things that if you click the button, then it'll show you pictures and they're interactive. And it's just completely different than just a book.
Yes, those extra layers now of information and graphics and videos that bring things to life are incredible. They're game changers.
I do think they help people learn and understand things. I mean, I would have loved things like that when I was trying to do all the science classes to get my degree, like legitimately. I do think they're helpful. It's just that then they start to suck us down a rabbit hole where we're using them too much, too often. And that's where the helpfulness starts to erode away. Social media is also a resource that helps us learn things and understand them, which is why we started She Changes Everything. We wanted women to be their own health advocates because we had seen how many times someone did not have the right information at the right time and it harmed their health. And nothing hurts our hearts more when someone could have had information that would have changed their life. So we've all been there, where we've gone to a health practitioner, we are not feeling well, and you walk out and you feel like you just dumped your money down the drain.
Side note, if that is your experience with your health practitioner or it's your current experience that you're going through right now, you should jump back and listen to episode 43 because we want to empower you to know that there is something different out there for you than a health practitioner who's not listening to you or feeling like you're floundering in not knowing what's going on with you. Now, that said, a lot of the health information that's being shared readily at your fingertips, it isn't actually vetted or scientifically backed or accurate in the slightest. You're getting your information from a random person who's not necessarily qualified, or they're not being held accountable by a larger board or a body who vets the ethical standards of what they're sharing.
Social media wellness can keep you from utilizing professionals when you really need it, right? Influencers have replaced doctors, chefs, registered dietitians, personal trainers, and other health professionals. And data is showing this. Gen Z, I believe, when they did a pretty wide survey, I forget the total number of participants, but it was a decent amount. It showed that Gen Z is 45% more likely to listen to someone's advice on social media than go to a real health professional because they do not think that they know what they're talking about. And the thing is, what the elephant in the room that people do not like to talk about is that's true. On some level, you can be going to a practitioner that does not help you. And Gen Z is less likely to sit in that room and pretend the advice they just received was okay, right? Because they have been raised to speak up. And so they're like, I'm not even bothering to go because the last time I went, it was a joke. And I think we have to start having spaces that say, you know what? We want people to be using good, solid advice. We want them to be using qualified health professionals that are held to a standard by a board, right? I think that's where it gets fuzzy on social media. We can only say certain things on social media because if you have a credential, you are held to a certain standard. If you don't have any credentials, you get to say whatever you want. There's no lawsuit coming down the pipeline for you or no threat of losing your credentials because you're not held to that standard. And I think for many people, they're very unaware of that difference for why sometimes on social media, a health professional is not just going to throw out a blanket statement about something that has a ton of nuance involved with it. And it kind of makes you sound like they don't know what they're talking about or, oh, they just don't care about this problem. And it's exactly the opposite. They just have to be very careful with how they talk about it with the masses because it's not individualized, right? You can't say a ton of things if it's not for a specific person. Right? If you're not taking care of someone's specific needs, you can't just go on social media and pretend something applies to every human listening. And that's a distinction that is getting lost, I think, within social media and why it can often feel frustrating for when you do go to a qualified practitioner. And so that's why knowing what you are receiving based on who's giving you the care, I think also helps to remove the frustration. Right? Like I always say, doctors are helping to let you know if you have a very bad disease, right? You're going to them to rule out a very problematic diagnosis. If you do not get that from that visit, right? If you get a quote unquote a clean bill of health, that's actually good news. Your next step from there is if you don't still feel well, you need to go work with other types of practitioners that help do preventative health, that are going to understand the nuances or the issues that you are having, because it's not a disease process that's currently going on. It's a lifestyle issue that's going on. And other types of practitioners like registered dietitians or certified personal trainers, chiropractors, acupuncturists, think people in other categories are going to be able to help you figure out where there's deficits in your lifestyle that is causing these chronic debilitating symptoms that you're having. And you want that problem. You want a clean bill of health, and then you want to go find somebody else to work with that's going to help you solve where you are not taking care of yourself in a way that helps you show up with energy, that helps you show up with mental clarity, that helps you show up like the person you want to be showing up as.
And that's a big deciding line because there's a difference between just getting information for fun, listening to health information because you want to learn or you're interested, versus being on social media and you're in a state of being unwell or not healthy, because it delays you taking action, but then it also delays you getting it from a person who's an expert who knows this full scope of the human body. Because you have influencers who have read a book or a blog and then they start talking like they're an expert. They read a couple of books and they make a program and then they sell it to you and take your money. But would you rather put your health and your life and your time in the hands of someone who read a book or two and talks really well and can make a program, or the hands of someone who spent years of their life learning and trying to understand this in order to be able to create something that can actually help you get out of the situation you're in and start to feel better in your body?
Well, on top of that, influencers and online personalities can create immense pressure for following fads. Right,
and it's kind of like talk about fads.
Are you right? Yeah, exactly that.
So what you're getting from them is artificial. It's not potentially the root of the problem or the best place to start. It's being pushed forward by this intense pressure to be relevant and talk about things that are trending. And then suddenly, again, you're spending time, energy, and money on something that was just being talked about because it's a fad, not necessarily because it's something that can help you get out of the situation you're in with your body and your health.
That, but to really make the point clear, they can say fanatical claims, right? They can say anything, and there's no repercussions coming down the pipeline. There's just nothing there. And again, I'd rather have it that way because I fully believe in free speech,
yes,
right?
Here for it.
Right. But on the flip side, I think what we're trying to make clear is that's why you see people with credentials not jumping in. We can't make fanatical claims just to get your ears to listen, because we are actually held accountable by boards that say, you know what, you can't make fanatical claims like that. You know they're not true. Because you have the schooling, you have the education to say, no, it doesn't work that way.
And just final note, we act like this, it's this innocuous glitter in the air that these things are being shared, but potentially on who you're choosing to trust, they have real impact on how you think about food, how you think about your body, how you spend your money. So a lot of these people can create food fears, they can create a misunderstanding about how your body works, and then they also create a ton of financial pressure without any responsibility for that damage that they're creating.
Right. And then on the flip side of the coin, right, this is why we also talk about you have to be your own advocate, because even if you are working with professionals, they might not be helping you, right? They might not be a good fit. They may not be supporting you in the direction that you need your health to go. And so there's always two sides to everything. And that's why we're trying to broaden the conversation so that you bring more of the nuance into it of understanding there are not the greatest health professionals, doctors, registered dietitians, whatever, right? Whatever category. But there's also on the other side of the coin, there's amazing doctors, registered dietitians, and people that are certified, right? And they're going to help you and they're going to make amazing changes in your life. Just like on the flip side, not all influencers are making fanatical claims.
They're doing
or misleading things. People, right? They're doing good things. They're having good influence. They're changing people's lives. And then on the other side of the coin, there are some that are making fanatical claims and they're walking people off of bridges. But that's the amazing thing about this is you get to decide. You get to decide who you want to keep listening to, who you want to give your time and energy to. And so that's why learning questions to ask so that you become a savvy critical thinker then empowers you to say, you know what? I don't think this person is leading me in the direction that I want to go. I'm going to look in a different direction. And that is our big goal with this, is to empower you with the understanding and the knowledge to make the choices for yourself.
So a good thing to do would be to look back at that worksheet. If you jotted down where you got your last three pieces of information that you took action on, just look at the balance of that. Were all three pieces of information from an influencer or from social media, or is it a mix? One was from your doctor.
Or from a book.
You don't want to be stuck in a cycle of just trying information from people who don't know your health history or the best ways to help you or on social media. You want to see that you're potentially getting your help from a broader variety of sources.
Yeah. And the major thing within it is you don't want to be masking the need for real meaningful changes because you are saving or, you know, just one-offing these singular ideas that you are seeing on social media. That's the biggest barrier to this, is it will prevent meaningful forward action on the change that you do want to be making if you're just kind of scatteringly picking up information from all over.
And that leads into one of the most damaging ways that Instagram wellness can be harmful. And that's our next point. Social media wellness can unintentionally mask real problems. So here's an image for you. Sometimes the things we learn to do on Instagram are like pouring essential oils that smell beautiful on poop and trying to get the smell to go away. I know it's gross, but it's a really serious problem, and I want you to feel that contrast.
So what does the essential oil represent? It's fully easy, digestible Instagram advice like drinking green smoothies, doing HIIT workouts, or taking a probiotic every day, and so much more there's nothing bad necessarily about them.
We just hear that. There's nothing bad about any of them.
I mean, I could make arguments for why all of them have some issues with them, okay, technically. Fine. But
for unique bodies. But
they will never heal anything on their own.
No.
And I think this is the barrier or the divide that's currently happening, right? Because for context here, the health markers of America, right?
Going down.
They're going down. They're not improving. Social media is not improving people's health, right? It's not imaginary, like as in, oh, but the people are getting so much more information and people are not taking action on the information. It's just entertainment. So now health is entertaining, but it's not something you need to do. And so the needle is not moving for people to take care of their health. So it's a poor substitute for lasting change. So what is the poop? The poop is the deep wellness issues of the mind, body, and soul level, or body imbalances like infections or disease states or negative lifestyle habits that drive body dysfunction. So those horrible symptoms, a green smoothie is never just going to be a fix if real dysfunction is going on, right? If you got poor food choices happening, if you're smoking, if you're drinking in excess, or ignoring serious symptoms and you keep putting off going to the doctor, or never working on building muscle, poop needs a much deeper level of care and support to create change and healing. So a whole bottle of lavender oil dumped all over poop is never going to heal a deep anxiety condition.
Yeah, it's a nice bonus. It has value to it, but the value isn't even remotely the same as something you truly need to start peeling back the layers of why that condition exists.
Or less gross examples to this is using homemade muscle creams or store-bought muscle creams because you're chronically getting muscle cramps or joint pain.
There's a real reason why that condition exists in your body, and it's covering that up and just making it feel better
temporarily.
Yeah.
With the cream. Or like a green smoothie is never going to heal something like ulcerative colitis.
Now you can argue that it's beneficial, and it is, but if you are at chronic high stress, you have no control over your life, and you aren't working with someone to address that, the green smoothie is helpful, but it's not undoing the condition.
It's not managing the condition, right? And that's, I think, what social media is doing, is saying, oh, just do this one thing and you'll be better.
That is the trend, the POV, the point of view. Point of view, do this exercise, you'll get rid of low back pain. Point of view, eat the salad, you'll heal your gut. They are a tantalizing carrot that we all want, the easy fix. We want it to be true so desperately.
We want it to be one thing.
But I've seen some great montages lately. Even those are just being copied and pasted and copied and pasted and copied and pasted and copied and pasted. And you're looking at something that's a point of view that has been said by 10,000 people.
So we are not saying any of these things are bad, right? One-off things can be taking care of your health, especially if you have a full understanding of the bigger picture that you uniquely need to take care of your unique body. But they will rarely yield any changes until you dig out of the poop and help your body heal and start over. So hearing that is not easy. It's not, right? Because again, we want the one thing. But if you've ever had a child who had a blowout, when you're stuck in the car driving, and then it's all over the car seat, it is all over the car, and it's just a disaster.
You know, it's an overwhelming smell.
You know the smell.
I do know the smell.
I mean, yes. Heather and I do not personally have kids. We have experienced the child with the blowout in the back seat.
Especially with younger brothers, sisters, and babysitting. And
yes.
Honestly, it reminds me, I did an internship at Disney World. It had many great, vivid memories for me that I still kind of treasure. But one night I was working as a custodian, and you get a call on the walkie-talkies and it says there's a protein spill. You know it's not going to be good.
A protein spill.
So that's the code for throw up. So I knew it would be bad, but then when I arrived, it was actually throw up and a clogged toilet.
I remember this.
A lot of busy things going on. The toilet was full because there was so much poop in it, it wouldn't flush. And I literally had to dig it out, plunge it, disinfect it. And it really felt like I had to disinfect the entire bathroom. And the smell was something I'll never forget. You want to get rid of it.
I remember you calling and saying you'd wash your hands like 50 times and you still could smell it.
I wanted to wash my nose hairs too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's a doctor I know also that when patients come in, he knows that human change is the hardest thing to do. The behaviors that have gotten you to where you are, your body will fight for them. You don't want to change. So he takes a bowl of poop and he sits it down on the desk to begin the consult and be like, these are the things you're going to have to change and dig out. Don't you want this out of the room? And it's awful. It's the worst thing in the world. It's such a shocking visual of what we're tolerating. Mm-hmm. And we don't want you tolerating very harmful conditions and habits and then feeling okay about it because you're glossing over them with these simple social media fixes.
Yeah, the point is that the cover-up is good by itself. We talk about and do things all the time, right? We do drink green smoothies occasionally. We love lavender essential oil. We've made our own homemade muscle rubs. These are fantastic motivators that are easy to say yes to, but the butt in the room is they do not create long-term change if there is a meaningful health dysfunction going on.
So we're here to challenge you today to just sit with, where could you possibly be wasting time or resources that are cover-ups that will never help you dig out of these deeper health conditions and clean up your body from the inside? You can't keep tolerating the dysfunction by using air fresheners and essential oil. It's not going to work long-term. Instagram wellness takes complex body issues and it makes them seem very fixable with these POVs and these cover-ups. And the people who tell us these things, they're confident. They will make you believe that it is it. And then they don't have to deal with your shame, your feeling of failure, and your frustration when they aren't working. So work with someone who can help you look at your body as a whole and then peel back the layers of the symptoms to get right to the root of the dysfunction and stop just utilizing your time and money to use essential oils to cover up health conditions.
And then this leads to the next issue, which is advice that is the same for everyone.
Yes, next point. Social media wellness is often cookie cutter. That's those POV trending things that you see. It's cookie cutter. It takes one exercise and tells you it will solve all back pain when back pain is caused by an actual incalculable number of reasons in the human body.
This is what I always say about bloating.
Yes,
right?
Another one.
This might fix my bloating.
For you individually, and that's incredible. We're really happy about it. But for most people, they've got their own other complex things going on. It's a laundry list.
Yeah, unfortunately, the bloat advice on social is just going to make you more bloated in the long run. Truly. It's unfortunate. Because again, people who have complex bloating or practitioners that work with bloating and understand how complex it is, we're not going on social media and creating a one-off video and promising to fix your bloating with one thing. This is why cookie cutter health information, from my perspective, is dangerous because, again, it can make things worse. Because you believe the green smoothie is the answer to why you're having intense bloating and you just blindly keep drinking it. And I think the other big issue is you keep drinking it, and you're having worse symptoms, which is highly likely within green smoothies if you have a bloating issue. And then people online are like, this is just a detox reaction. It's your body getting good things and getting used to it. That is not how the body works. The body does not do mean things to you if something is working, if something is helping. And that is a big misunderstanding that has gained immense popularity because of the detox mindset. Be miserable. Have headaches, be just, you know, completely incoherent, but that's a good thing because you're fixing your body. A fixed body does not have the inability to function. A fixed body has the ability to function. So even when you are doing something that's going to take care of it and help it, quote unquote, heal or feel better, you should not, in most cases, feel worse. If something is helping, it should be making you feel better.
I think another specific kind of cookie cutter piece of advice that you talk to me all the time about is that trend for high fat diets.
Yes, there are many individuals that struggle to digest fat.
Yes.
Where a high fat diet is going to cause a whole cascade of just completely awful and debilitating symptoms in the body. And if you believe the only way to be healthy is to eat high fat, right, you're suddenly going to believe that you're going to have health issues because you can't eat high fat, where the opposite could be exactly true for you, which is lower fat is what allows you to thrive and live to 107. Another really great example of this is if you're trying to improve your hormones. A lot of the posts that you will see are talking to you about eating cruciferous vegetables, you know, like broccoli or cauliflower or, you know, Brussels sprouts is in that, or cabbage. And here's the thing with that. Yeah, those are good things to eat. But certain people can only digest and absorb so much sulfur from those vegetables, right? You're going to get immense bloating, gas, digestive discomfort if you eat too much of it. So the average person really can only eat around a half a cup of that specific type of vegetable. And if you go on social, they're eating cups upon cups of it. But that's not saying you shouldn't be eating cruciferous vegetables, and that's where you can throw the baby out with the bathwater. You're going to get a small therapeutic effect from eating normal amounts of those vegetables.
And just a general boost for your health on a lot of compounds that are in cruciferous
vegetables.
Well, that's
the thing. Cruciferous vegetables help to prevent cancer. That's actually what they're really good for. It's not this hormone component. You really want to be eating them to prevent cancer. So, and again, so you want to be eating them. So we're not throwing out cruciferous vegetables. What I am pointing out is you're probably pounding cruciferous vegetables and waiting for it to improve your hormones. And you're not, in most cases, going to get anywhere with cruciferous vegetables and improving your hormones.
That, and then there's the fact that some people are just always going to feel bad eating them. And when you know it, you can watch for it and decide if it's a good fit for you to have it in your diet or not.
Yeah, that's the nuance of knowing where you can get these other compounds. Where else are they present? What other foods are they in? And based on what's uniquely going on with you, you can get empowered to know, one, different choices to make, but also be empowered to know you can still be perfectly healthy if you cannot eat these. Like if your body is just like, no, you and I, we're not friends. And that's okay.
Uh-huh, because
there's other choices available. Yeah, so one last example with the cruciferous vegetables, right? On the other side, you can fall into the thyroid health spaces where they're yelling at you to never let a cruciferous vegetable pass your lips. You know, it's going to downregulate your thyroid production. It's going to impact your hypothyroidism or your Hashimoto's. And again, that's taken out of context because the research done on this is done on raw cruciferous vegetables. And again, it's eating so many of them, like where the normal person is not going to eat the amount of cruciferous vegetables in a raw state that showed that it can impact the thyroid's ability to work.
So then you're losing out on something that can be really helpful on a lot of levels for one specific area that is being kind of like microscopically looked at?
Yeah, where they're trying to make it apply to everyone and it doesn't. Sure, is there someone that I would work with based on all the information I have about what's going on with their current health, with their thyroid issue right now?
Labs, blood work.
We might determine together that, yeah, let's not be eating raw cruciferous vegetables, right? But I'm never going to tell you not to eat cooked cruciferous vegetables. It completely changes it. And how often are you eating them? Unless someone is looking at me and going, you don't understand, I eat this 3 times a day, 7 days a week. Okay, that's a conversation. Okay, let's talk about why this is your food of choice. Why is this the only thing available to you? Why are we eating so much of it? And changing that narrative around it of understanding of like, you know, that's a lot for just anybody, but especially for someone with a thyroid issue. Versus on the flip side, where normally when I'm talking to someone about this, they eat cruciferous vegetables maybe 1 or 2 times a week, maybe. That is not causing thyroid issues.
No matter what, when you're looking at these blanket statements and these cookie cutter advices, including something about something like cruciferous vegetables, you want to figure out why you should drink it, why you should eat the cruciferous vegetables, why it's right for you specifically, and then how often it's good. Because you have to step into owning your body and your experience, because there's a tendency with this cookie cutter advice to think that you failed or you didn't do it right, when in fact it was just never a good fit for you.
The number one way to make sure someone doesn't take care of themselves, from my perspective, where food is primarily how I'm going to support you, is to tell them that they only have so many things they can eat. The less food you have available to you to choose from, the more likely you are to be unwell. Because what's getting lost is many people are being led to believe they can walk around and do the talking, do the walking, do the functioning without inputs, without energy. Food is energy. Food is your ability to function. Food is your ability to show up well. And what I see day in and day out is people who've been walked towards a cliff that says, try and function on as little as possible, and it will never, ever, ever get you to a point of being well, because the body needs energy and it needs enough to actually create healing.
So you would rather actually work with someone who's going to look at the big picture and keep that as robust and as full of variety and health as possible, instead of tumbling down a hole of cookie cutter advice that closes your world in around you and makes it harder for your body to heal. The one takeaway in this section is that you want to watch for people who are creating an oversell on their cookie cutter advice, or are creating pressure that's going to make it feel very difficult for you to start healing. And just own your unique experience, so that way you're not getting stuck feeling guilt, shame, failure, body discomfort, or lack of healing for something that was never meant to apply to you from the beginning. And that's where we'll stop for today. Join us for our next episode, where we'll actually dig into fads and trends that are on social media and what makes them winners for some people and absolutely losers for other people. It's a really fascinating conversation I know you'll learn a lot from. In the meantime, as we continue through the social media series, it's obvious that social media can be a tool for good and is a great place to connect and come across new ideas. However, it's just not a substitute for personalized care and expertise and excellence. When you're sick, you'd rather have someone who's excellent at taking care of people and understanding the human body. Authentic health journeys are not linear. They almost never are, and they demand a really discerning eye and the ability to decipher between what's a trend and what's a really meaningful, sustainable practice for your health. Your wellness journey is a path filled with endless possibilities, and every day you wake up presents a new opportunity to make positive changes in your life and how you choose to use social media. If you're not feeling well, or if you have questions about your health or about your body, and you'd like to take the next step to making changes that matter, I'd invite you to schedule a free 15-minute consultation with us. This is your chance to explore how we work together, what our methodology is, and if we can create a personalized wellness plan that truly aligns with your goals and your care needs. You can find the link for that in the podcast description, or just go to shechangeseverything.com. Remember, no matter where you are in your journey, whether you're just starting out or you've been navigating the ups and downs for some time, there's always hope. Hope for growth, hope for healing, and hope for change.